Эх. Okay, Gmar Chesimatova, 2-0. There's a couple more Mar Makomas over there if you want to. I overheard someone in the building yesterday on a phone call, and this fellow was talking to his wife, and he was trying to figure out his plans for the afternoon. And he said in the phone call, he said, the only thing I need to figure out right now is if I need to come home. And she kept like saying something else, and he kept saying, the only thing I need to figure out right now is if I need to come home. That's the only thing I need to figure out right now, if I need to come home. And I was thinking to myself, what a nice, you know, we spend a lot of time listening to Shiurim and Musar Shmuzin, trying to get inspired for Yom Noram, trying to connect a little bit to Yom Kippur. And I think what I overheard on that phone call was the whole Shiur that I'm trying to give today. The only thing we need to figure out right now is if I need to come home. And I think we all know the answer that we need to come home. We need to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to find a way to come back to the place that we all belong. There was a chassid of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes. And this chassid came to the Ger Rebbe at this time of the year. And he was a big businessman, this fellow. And he says to the Ger Rebbe, he says, you know, Rebbe, I have a very urgent question. This was a person who consulted with his Rebbe anytime he entered into any type of business deal. Any type of purchase, any type of arrangement, whatever it was that he was investing in. And he comes to the Sfas Emes and he says, Rebbe, I have to talk to you about something. It's very urgent. It's very pressing. He tells the Sfas Emes he has this opportunity. And again, this was a wealthy person, a successful person, but he saw it as a big opportunity and he wanted to seek the advice of his Rebbe. Should I go for it? Should I buy? Should I sell? Should I invest? Should I not? And the Sfas Emes turned to him and he said, the only thing that's urgent this time of the year, he says, that I'm not trying. Sfas Emes was a very beloved rabbi, and he had a good relationship with this chassid. But he said, I can't answer this question right now. The only thing that's urgent right now is that a Jew needs to discuss tshuva. He said, that's the only discussion that's urgent right now. And if that's true, you know, throughout this time period, all the more so as we get closer and closer to the Yom HaKadosh, we get closer and closer to Yom HaKippurim, we need to really think about what's urgent right now. What's urgent right now is to figure out how we're going to have a successful Gemara. There's a series of psukim that we read a couple weeks ago in source number one. I don't know if we have any more Mar Makomos sheets. People can share with each other. The psukim in Parshas Nitzavim. The psukim that describes so beautifully the potential and the possibility of tshuva. And yet, every time I read these psukim, on the one hand, I'm filled with tremendous chizuk. On the other hand, I feel as if the Torah is laughing in my face. Because the Torah describes in source number one, Ki ha-mitzvah zos, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, lo nifleisi mimcha, v'lo rechoki. This mitzvah, ha-mitzvah zos, a big discussion, what exactly is ha-mitzvah zos? The Ramban is convinced that ha-mitzvah zos is a reference to tshuva. Other Rishonim learned it perhaps differently. Again, this whole series of psukim, it's an interesting question. Chazal and the Gemara and Erevin seem to learn it one way. Some Rishonim learned it one way. Some other Rishonim learned it a different way. Let's go with the sheet of the Ramban that ha-mitzvah zos, this particular mitzvah, being described here is not a reference to the Torah in its entirety, as some want to understand it. But as the Ramban very cogently argues, Ki ha-mitzvah zos is reference to tshuva, this particular mitzvah. So what does the Torah say about this mitzvah? Ha-mitzvah zos, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, lo nifleisi mimcha. It's not something that's strange or abstract. It's not distant from you. Lo rechoke, lo bashamayimi. It's not in the heavens. Lo emor mi'ala lanu ha-shamayimah, vikachel lanu. It's not, a person doesn't have to take a rocket ship to outer space to somehow find this thing that we're searching for, tshuva. V'lo me'ever liyam, pasuk yud gimel. It's not on the other side of the ocean. Le'mor mi yavur lanu es ever hayam, v'kachel lanu. Rather, where is tshuva to be found? Ki karov eilecha hadavar ma'od, b'ficha uvilvavcha la'soso. The Torah says it's a very simple thing. It's exceptionally close to you. It's karov eilecha ma'od. It's exceptionally close. The Torah doesn't use the word ma'od all that often, although it certainly appears other places in the Torah. It's b'ficha. It's in your mouth, it's in your speech, uvelvavcha, it's in your emotions, it's in your mind, it's in your heart, it's in your machshavos. Right? Classically, certainly the way the Rishonim understood the concept of the lev is not only the center of one's emotions, but it's the center of one's intellect. So, tshuva is found in your dibor, it's found in your lev, it's found in your machshava, and lasoso, it's found in the maisa, all three dimensions by which we operate, machshava, dibor, and maisa, thought, speech and action, tshuva is accessible, it's all over the place, it's very easy. So again, on one hand, you read these psukim and you feel, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mechazik us so much. This is great. I thought tshuva was so hard, and Hashem says, no, it's very easy. Okay, so that's great. That's great news. But the challenge of these psukim is that we don't often feel that way. We don't feel that tshuva is so, so easy. That Hashem says, oh, come on, what are you making a big deal out of it? Lo b'shamayimi, lo me'ever l'yami, ki karav alecha adavar ma'od. If a Jew stops during these days and really tries to make a reckoning of everything we've done over the course of the last year, we don't have a clue where to begin. We don't feel that b'fichul, b'vavchul, asosu, it's just so easy. It's a little peh, it's a little lev, it's a little maisa, a couple extra dollars to tzedakah, a little more vidui, that seems to be how the Rambam primarily understands the mitzvah of tshuva, right? A little machshavas halev, a couple thoughts, think a little differently. It's not so simple to do tshuva. And yet, again, at the end of the day, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, but it is so easy to do tshuva, so then maybe we don't really understand what it means to do tshuva. Maybe we've made it overly complicated, and in fact, the process of tshuva, and the ability for a Jew to be chozer b'tshuva is in fact a very easy thing. And that's what I want to discuss today. That tshuva is, as the Torah, as the Kadosh Baruch Hu, with His infinite knowledge, is clearly telling us. Tshuva is karov elecha adavar mod. It's not a complicated thing. It's not a hard thing. It's not me'ever liyam. Lo nefleisim imchol orechokehi. It's a very simple and accessible thing. And it can only be understood if we understand what exactly we're trying to accomplish with tshuva. What is tshuva? The title of this year is A Return to Normalcy. Right? That's a hard thing to talk about in the world today, in a world that seems far from normal. But tshuva really is a return to something that's so natural and so normal as all the svarim that delve into the deeper notions of what tshuva is about all try to explain. I want to begin with a pasuk in Eicha, in source number 2. There's a beautiful pasuk that describes the, it's a painful pasuk, right? The Medrash will make it quite beautiful for us, describing the pain of Yerushalayim itself. In Eicha we say in the beginning, in the first parak aleph pasuk dal, Darchei Tzion Avelus. The roads to Tzion, the roads to Zion, the roads to Eretz Yisrael are avelus, are mourning. Mibli ba'i moed. Why are the streets to Yerushalayim, to Tzion, to Eretz Yisrael, up to the Beis Hamikdash, why are the streets mourning avelus? The streets themselves are in a state of avelus. Mibli ba'i moed, because there's no one traveling on those roads. Aliyah l'regel. The pasuk goes on. Kol sha'areh shomemin. Right, everyone's crying, everyone's mourning. B'sula said, "Nugos v'hi marla," a very bitter state of Eretz Yisrael. But there's a beautiful, beautiful medrash in Eicha Rabbah that I think again is a tremendous stepping stone to understanding just how easy tshuva is. The medrash says, "What does it mean, darchei tzion avelus? The inanimate earth beneath our feet is crying; it's mourning. Darchei tzion, the roads to tzion are avelus. They're depressed. They're sad. What does that mean?" Says the medrash in source number 3 in Eicha Rabbah. Amar Rav Huna, Hakol Mevakshin Tafkidan. Everything in the world is seeking its tafkid, its purpose. Everything. It doesn't say every person is seeking its tachlis. It doesn't say every Jew is seeking his or her tafkid in the world. It says that everything in the world, every animal, every plant, every grain of sand is trying to figure out, what am I doing here? What's my purpose? Hakol Mevakshin Tafkidan. And the Medrash gives 3 examples. The Medrash says, Maisa Bakalva Achas Kofris. Once there was a female dog, and she noticed at the top of this sharp cliff, right, La Rosh HaSela, at the top of some mountaintop, she noticed that there was a male dog, and she was very attracted to this dog. And this female dog, with tremendous, she saw, this dog must be my mate. I have to be with this dog. And with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, she climbed this massive mountain in order to be with the one that she loved. Unbelievable, because she felt that I have a tafkid. My tafkid is to be married to that male dog. Okay. Kol mevakshin tafkidan. She felt that was her purpose. She needed to do it. It was an unusual thing, an unusual feat to climb such a mountain. But this female dog, this kal v'achas kofris, felt that that's what she needed, and that's what she did. Rabbi Ami Amar Afilu Arazin mevakshin tafkidan. Not only do animals, but even plants, the cedar trees, the arazim are seeking their tafkid. How do you know? Teida lecha, shelo hayu arazim bebavel, ukeshe'ala Nebuchadnezzar lekan, tola sharazim mikan, v'shoslim bebavel. When Nebuchadnezzar was trying to establish Babel, he took some of the palm trees, the cedar trees rather, from Eretz Yisrael, and he transplanted them to Babel. And when Nebuchadnezzar, Arasha, passed away, kushumeis hayu smeichem ala palaso, These trees celebrated the downfall of Nebuchadnezzar because they said, you took us from our natural habitat. We have a tafkid. We belong in a certain place. And you tried to uproot us and transplant us to a different place. And they were so angry at Nebuchadnezzar that these trees were moved away from their tafkid. Because again, hakol mevakshin and tafkidam. Concludes the Medrash. Not only people, not only animals, not only plants, but even inanimate material. Even rocks, dirt beneath our feet. Amar Rav Avdimi Dimin Chaifa, where it's bolded in source 3. Afilu drachim mevakshin and tafkidam. Even the roads, even the earth beneath our feet is seeking its tafkid. Hadahu dichsiv, this is what it means in the pasuk we read in Eicha, darchei tzion avelus mibli ba'imoi. That the roads to Yerushalayim, the roads to the Beis HaMikdash, if there aren't people traveling, aliyah l'regel to come, lifnei Hashem, to come to the Beis HaMikdash, then the road feels sad. Then the road feels depressed. And the Medrash is medayik. Mibli borgonin, mibli bolitin ein ksivkan. It doesn't say that the roads are sad because there are no dignitaries or important wealthy individuals traveling on those roads. There are in fact, very powerful, wealthy dignitaries traveling on those roads. You go to Yerushalayim, sometimes you're trying to get to the Kotel, right? And the whole city is, you know, the whole old city is, right, is like totally deadlocked. You can't get anywhere. And your cab driver says to you, whatever, I can't get any closer. You find out, you turn on the radio, what's happening? Some ambassador from some country, some small country has come to Yerushalayim, and all of a sudden the whole place shuts down. So you can say that's a tremendous cover for Yerushalayim. Here you have the, whatever of wherever coming to visit Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim is the place that, the center of the universe, right? This person wants to come to such an important place, a place that the whole world is fighting over. So you'll say, wow, that's a tremendous kavod to the streets of Yerushalayim. Look, that they're clogged with chashuv people. And yet the Medrash reveals to us a different reality. The Medrash says that until Jews are coming up Aliyah L'Regel, those roads are very sad. The roads are not appeased by the fact that, again, that Borgonin and Bolitin, that dignitaries and wealthy individuals are traveling on those roads. That road says, I have a tafkid. And my tafkid is to be the road to the Beis HaMikdash. And if it's not a person traveling to the Beis HaMikdash, then the road is crying, Darchei Tzion Avelus, Mibli Ba'imoid. These are days where everyone is trying to find their tafkid. Everyone's trying to figure out exactly where do I fit in, how do I fit in, to find our place. There's a story that I love to tell, but I'll couch it in the context of an idea I shared this past Shabbos. We know this past Shabbos we read about the last mitzvah of the Torah. 613th mitzvah of the Torah, Va'ata Kisvu Lachem Asashira Azos, an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. Obligation to write a Sefer Torah, okay. You find on the page of the Shulchan Aruch that perhaps Bizman Hazeh, some of the Rishonim had such an idea, that maybe it's primarily filled Bizman Hazeh by purchasing Svarim. So I'm doing a good job with that. That's good. I'm very into buying Svarim. I've never written the Sefer Torah, but if that's how we're Mekayim the Mitzvah, to have Svarim to be able to, you have to actually use the Svarim, so maybe I'm not doing so well. But, right, if you buy Jewish books in order to learn, so that's what Hashem wants. And therefore the Torah says everyone should write their own Sefer Torah. Va'ata kisvu lachem. As Hashira Hazos. You should write down this Shira. What's this Shira? The Shira is presumably Parshas Hazinu, but the Rambam writes in the 7th parak of Hilchos Sefer Torah that you can't just write one section of the Torah, so if it means to write this section, it must mean to write the whole thing. Okay, so we have to write a Sefer Torah. Va'ata kisvu lachem as Hashira Hazos. So I write a Sefer Torah. There's me, and then there's a Sefer Torah that I'm writing. The Bi'al Rebbe, the Chalkas Yoshua, has a beautiful insight. And he starts by saying, let's think about David Melech for a second. David HaMelech describes himself at one point in Tehillim with the phrase Va'ani Tfila. Va'ani Tfila means that David HaMelech is expressing the highest level of connection to prayer is not where it's me and it's my tfilos, this is me and this is my sitter, right? And this is Moshe Tzvi and this is the words that he's speaking, to the point that you become the tfila. You become one with the tfila. David HaMelech says Va'ani Tfila, I am prayer. Not I am davening, but I've become one with the tefillah itself. I am tefillah. So says the Chalkas Yoshua, the same thing is true in our relationship with Torah. The goal is not to just be someone who learns Torah in the abstract. There's me, and then there's the Torah that I learn. The goal is to become a walking, breathing, living Sefer Torah. You have a Gemara in Kedusha like that, a Gemara in Makos and Daf Chaf Beis. How foolish are people who stand up for the Sefer Torah? You open up the Aron, you take out the Torah. People stand for the Torah. But you don't stand for a Talmud Chacham, a Gavra Rabba, the Gemara says, who's the living embodiment of Torah. That would be a terrible mistake. So the goal is that we become living Sifrei Torah. That's the hope. So the Bi'al Rebbe says, Va'ata kisvu lachem as Hashira Azos doesn't only mean that a Jew has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. But va'ata kisvu lachem. Kisvu lachem. Write yourself. Kisvu lachem et hashir hazos. Become that Sefer Torah. To take it into oneself to the point that you become it. Not just that you're studying it in the abstract. And again, in life, that's what we're always trying to do. We're trying to figure out, how do I become what Hashem wants me to be? Not how do I just do superficially, that there's me, what I want to be, and then there's how Hashem kind of would like me to be, but they're two separate things. To become what Hashem wants me to be. So I mentioned, there's a story that I like to tell. There's a beautiful story that Rav Shmuel Brazil, who's now in Eretz Yisrael, used to be in Shar Yashiv, he tells in one of his svarim. He says he was traveling one time in Montreal. He comes to Montreal and he's in a particular shul and he meets, there's this altar yid there, this old Jew, very sweet little old man with a big smile on his face, and he goes over, he strikes up a conversation with him, and he starts talking to him, and it turns out that this gentleman's grandson is learning at Shar Yashiv, and Rabbi Brazil knows him, so they start conversing. He's telling him, wow, your grandson's doing so beautifully, he's learning well in yeshiva, he's giving him a lot of nachas. So Shmuel Brazil turns to this older gentleman and he says to him, tell me, so what do you do? I can see you're a very active person. Tell me about how you spend your day. And the guy has a huge smile on his face. He reaches into his pocket. He pulls out this list. He pulls out this big list of daily chores. Right? And it's divided into two columns. On one side are his responsibilities to the community. He's very active in the community. I'm the gabbai, and I'm in charge of this committee, and I'm in charge of the tzedakah committee, and I'm in this, you know, many different things in the community. On the other side of the list are his personal kabbalos, things that he's working on for himself, things that he does on a daily basis. I have to do daf yomi tonight, I do this, I have to do that. So Shmuel Brazil is looking at this list, and he notices at the bottom of the list, in his list of things to do that day, at the very bottom of the list, it says, write a niggun. Write an original song. I want to write an original composition. Now, Shmuel Brazil is a great composer. Wrote many famous Jewish songs. We don't even realize sometimes the such famous songs. We just assume everything was from Shlomo Karlbach. Right? But Shmuel Brazil also has some very, very famous songs. So he says to him, wow, do you play an instrument? And the older gentleman says, no, I don't. So he says, well, do you write songs? Do you come up with original tunes? And the fellow says, no. So he says, so why do you have on your list of things to do today to write a song, to write a niggun? So he says, Rabbi, this might sound strange, but I feel that I have the ability to write a song. I just feel I have the ability to write a song. So Shmuel Brazil says, can I ask you something? How long have you felt this way? So he says, Rabbi, honestly, for the last 30 years. He says, every time I make myself a list for the last 30 years, I write down at the bottom of the list, come up with an original composition, because I feel inside of myself, this is part of who I am. Hakol mevakshin tafkidan. That a person recognizes there's certain things that I'm meant to do in this world. Va'ata kisvu lachem es hashiras, I can become a Torah. Va'ani need tefillah, and I can become tefillah. And the question is, how do I become that? And these are days when we're thinking about these things. I'm trying to figure out what I want to be this coming year. Now, what do I want to just do superficially? I'm going to be the same Jew this coming year and just do a few extra things? How do I become a different type of person? That's what tshuva is. But again, it's not something that's outside of oneself, as we learn from this story. It's something that you feel inside of yourself. A recognition of who I can be, and I'm looking inside myself to figure out how can I recognize those kochos that I have. And to return to myself is what Shuvah is really about. Everyone knows that, of course, on Yom Kippur we read Sefer Yonah. Why do we read Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in source number 4, Mishnah Berurah gives several explanations. First, Mishnah Berurah explains why we read the section of the Torah that we read by Mincha, and then where it's bolded in source 4, Umaftir b'Yonah, we conclude at Mincha time on Yom Kippur with the Sefer of Yonah, the short Sefer of Yonah, Shemidaber menat tshuva. First and foremost, Yonah is a book of tshuva. Now, Yonah is sent, as the Navi, Yonah ben Amittai, sent to the city of Nineveh to try to awaken them to tshuva, and we learn from there, as the Levush writes, and many other Achronim write, we learn very simply from the story of Yonah, a message of tshuva. It's a very appropriate book for Yom Kippur. Then the Mishnah Berurah gives a second explanation, b'shem the Achronim, v'od she'ein yecholin livroach min Hashem yisbach. Furthermore, Yonah, who tried to reject his mission, who tried to run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't want to be mekabel the Nevuah, for a variety of reasons. You can look at Rishonim and Achronim, say for Yonah, what exactly he was so afraid to take on this mission, simply because he felt that the city of Nineveh is going to do tshuva, and the Jewish people are constantly being told by their prophets to do tshuva, and they don't, so it's going to look bad for the Jewish people. He didn't want to do something that would look bad for Klal Yisrael. So he ran away. So says the Mishnah Berurah, B'shem Ve'achronim, we read Sefer Yonah to remind ourselves that you can't really run away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't run away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. An important message on Yom Kippur. Hashem sees everything. Hashem knows everything. We're trying to correct the wrongs that we've done. We should realize that Hashem doesn't forget anything. Hashem sees everything. You can't run away. You can't hide from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But I remember I was reading a number of years ago, I was looking at a book called Life is a Test, in source number 5, Rebbetzin Esther Youngreis, and she says a vart that is a little bit deeper than the Mishnah Berurah. And I think it's even more true to what the whole notion of tshuva is about. She writes as follows. We see this very same teaching reinforced in the story of the Navi Yonah. He too tried to escape his mission. Is it that you can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it that you can't run away from yourself? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. The Mishnah Berurah told us, we read Sefer Yonah, to remind ourselves that it's not possible to be borech from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's deeper than that. Because by running away from his tafkid in this world, he wasn't only letting HaKadosh Baruch Hu down, he wasn't only rejecting what Hashem had in mind for him, it was a rejection of self. That's the tragedy of Yonah. And that's what tshuva is, a return to oneself. She writes so beautifully where it's bolded. While the book of Yonah is an electrifying reminder of the power of tshuva, repentance, it is also there to impress upon us that there is a higher purpose to our lives, a reason why God created us, and a destiny from which we cannot escape. Hakom levakshin tafkidon. Ki karav alecha davar ma'od. Being true to yourself is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you in this world. And when a Jew tries to run away from his or her tafkid, so that's the greatest chet of all. You've undermined the whole creation by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you. We just had last week the very painful fast day of Tzom Gedalia. It's an unusual fast day. It's a strange day. Why Tzom Gedalia of all the days became a fast day, the Pnei Yeshua discusses in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, on source number 6, darshaning the Psukim in Zechariah, in the 8th parak, Pasuk says, Tzom HaShvi'i, Zesh Shloshim B'Tishrei. We know there's the fast of the 4th, the fast of the 5th, right? Tammuz and Av, the fast of the 7th month. What is the fast of the 7th month? The fast of Tishrei. What's the fast of Tishrei? Well, it's the Navi Zechariah speaking, not the Torah, so it's not Yom Kippur. There's another fast in Tishrei. What's the fast of Tishrei? On the 3rd of Tishrei, we have Tzom Gedalia. And what is Tzom Gedalia about? Says the Gemara, Shebo Nera Gedalia ben Achikam. That was the day that Gedalia ben Achikam was killed. Umi Hargo. Then the Gemara says, and who killed him? We need to know a little bit more of the story. Yishmael ben Netanya Hargo. Yishmael ben Netanya was the name of this fellow who killed Gedalia ben Achikam. What does it come to teach us? That the death of Gedalia was sort of the end of that whole tekufa of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the death of a tzaddik is as significant as the burning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So everyone wants to understand. So what is it? What was it about Tzom Gedalia? What was it about Tzom Gedalia that made it such a significant day? So if you look in the Be'er Heitiv, in Siman Tavkof Nun, he says that in fact, when was Gedalia killed? This might bump it up a notch. The Be'er Heitiv writes that Gedalia was in fact killed when? On Rosh Hashanah itself. So that itself is very jarring. That's pretty significant. That here you have this righteous individual, Gedalia ben Achikam, the remnant of the Jewish people left in the land, and he's killed on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, well, we're not going to fast on Rosh Hashanah, but the next day we have to reflect on that someone could kill someone else on Rosh Hashanah. But the Pnei Yeshua wants to go deeper. The Pnei Yeshua says a series of questions, and he wants to understand, why does the Gemara bother to ask the question, Umi Hargo? Who killed him? The Gemara says, Yishmael ben Netanya Hargo. If I want to know that, I can open up a Navi, and I can find out who killed him. Why does the Gemara follow up with the question, Umi Hargo? Who is responsible for the death of Yishmael ben Netanya? So first the Pnei Yeshua says, well, it's not just a tzaddik who died, this was a tzaddik who was killed. So maybe that's why it's so significant. The Pnei Yeshua says, yeah, but there are many tzaddikim who were killed. What is it about Gedalia ben Achikam's death that is so significant? Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's what the Gemara is emphasizing. Umi Hargo, who killed him? Yishmael ben Netanya. And in case you're not sure, by the way, that's a Jewish person. When a Jew kills another Jew, that's very significant. And that's the give and take of the Gemara, says the Pnei Yeshua, in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. I'm sure we all remember, not too many summers ago, when that little Hasidic boy, Levi Kletzky, right, that little Jewish boy was killed by another Jew. There was nothing as jarring, as shocking, as painful, as the thought that a Jew could kill another Jew. It was such a source of pain and embarrassment to Klal Yisrael. And that kicks it up quite a bit. This was not a person who was killed by the enemies of the Jewish people. We have that, unfortunately, many times in our history. But that a Jew would go and kill another Jew. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's why Tzom Gedalia makes it, unfortunately, onto the charts. That's why it was a day that was decreed as the day of fast. But what could be worse, on some level, I'm not, God forbid, belittling, obviously on a pshat level, the significance of a Jew killing another Jew. But if we go into the back to the realm of machshava, if you will, right? What's almost worse than one Jew killing another Jew? So you look in the Pele Yoetz in source number 7. The Pele Yoetz is a magnificent encyclopedia of Jewish thought. Under the entry, under the Erech Avas Atzmo, the love that one has for himself, the Pele Yoetz writes very powerful words. What could be worse than a Jew killing another Jew? How about a Jew killing himself? How about a Jew making an independent decision to kill oneself? Feeling that I have no purpose in the world, when it's the antithesis of everything that we stand for. Hakol mevakshin tafkidan. If the dirt beneath my feet feels that it has a purpose in this world. If a tree feels it has a purpose in this world. If a dog feels it has a purpose. Does not a Jew, a child of the Ribbono Shel Olam, like it says in Parshas Vayikra, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, that a Jew would say about himself or herself that I have no purpose in this world? To kill oneself. That's a very tragic thing, and I don't even want to stray into the halachos of suicide. It's a complicated thing in halacha as well. It's a very, very painful and tragic thing. We should never know from it. But the Pele Yoetz says, what happens every time we do an avera? What happens every time we run from our mission in this world? Isn't that a form of suicide? A spiritual suicide? Isn't that killing off, in a sense, who I'm supposed to be? Says the Pele Yoetz, Ki teva hu be'enoshi d'bia bo abori. HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed each and every one of us. That a person loves himself. And we love ourselves more than we could possibly love anyone else. The Torah understands that. When the Torah says, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, the Torah never meant it literally, that I have to love someone like I love myself. We know the halacha, the famous discussion. Two people in the midbar, one cup of water. We pass like Rabbi Akiva. Chayecha kodman, you have a right to drink that cup of water and your friend dies a brutal death in that hot desert. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos, when it understands V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, it doesn't say you have to literally love another person like yourself. It says don't do to others what you wouldn't want done to you. But you see, the Torah never meant it literally. The Ramban says it's exaggerated. When the Torah says love someone else like yourself, the Ramban says the Torah is speaking somewhat in an exaggerated fashion because it's not possible to love anyone as much as you love yourself. But if we love ourselves so much, so why do we do such horrible things to ourselves once in a while? Says the Pele Yoetz, if Hashem programmed us, if it was etched into our very mahus, that what she oev es atzmo, that a person loves himself, va'adam karov etzel atzmo, and a person's closest kin, his closest relative, is oneself, va'oev es atzmo yoser mikol ha'olam mikol davar shebo'olam, and we love ourselves more than anyone or anything in the world, ki kol asher l'ish yitin ba'ad nafsho, we'd give anything to save our life. I just want to pause for a second and add an interesting ha'ara that I saw on a sefer called the Avas Meisharim. The Avas Meisharim was Rav Moshe Rosenstein. He was a mashkiach in the Lamja Yeshiva, and he makes a very beautiful ha'ara. It's a very simple insight, but it's something we need to think about once in a while, especially in the context of tshuva. A person knows that he would give away everything, you'd give away every possession that you own in order to save your life. So Rav Moshe Rosenstein writes, in a very short little paragraph in his work of Musar and Ashkafa, called Avas Meisharim, he says, so why do we have to wait until we're in that situation to realize that? Meaning if someone came to you and said, I'm going to kill you unless you give me your house and your car and your computer and your this and your that and everything, your cell phone and your wallet and your keys, right? Give me everything or I'm going to take your life. No one in a second would hesitate to give away everything to save our lives. He says, but at the same time, when we do have life, we very often trade away meaningful life for all of those other possessions. So why do we have to wait till we're in such a situation to realize that? It's a fair point, something to think about. So says the Pele Yoetz, in the second line where it's bolded, Aval yesh ra'a chola, but there's a certain illness that we have. Despite the fact that we love ourselves so much, and we're so obsessed with ourselves, there's an illness that unfortunately is also part of our reality. Ra'as hayetzahara sha'ochez shemuro seinayim, va'osa sa'adim she'ekechola u'keshikor, asher lo yada ben yamino l'smolo. We have a yetzahara inside of ourselves as well, which is trying to get us to undermine our very selves. And the yetzahara acts like a sick individual, like a drunkard, makes us into a drunkard who doesn't know the difference between right and left. Or said, more simply, doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. If it go rim ra la'atzma, when we make decisions which are self-destructive, Minefesh vad basar yechale ba'ofen she'ein shum sone ba'olam yachol haralam. We damage ourselves, we hurt ourselves in a way that no enemy. We're sometimes so creative in destroying ourselves. Through what? Through the averus that we do. Vizesh dus gadol, and this is a great folly, it's a great foolishness of man. As we know, the Gemara concludes, the Gemara in Sota, Undav gimel amad aleph, ein adam chote elim ki nichnas bo ruach shtus. If not for a moment of temporary insanity, right, no one would come to do an avera. Because we're harming ourselves. It's suicidal. It's spiritually poisonous to ourselves. And we love ourselves. So how does it happen that we, how does it happen we get involved in this? There's an illness. There's a yetzahara. There's a sickness. There's a fit of temporary insanity that again sometimes leads us to sin. But through this we understand what tshuva is. Tshuva means just be true to yourself. Just be a healthy version of yourself. Don't allow yourself to slip away from yourself. And that's what Sefer Yonah is begging us to do as we get closer and closer towards the end of Yom Kippur. At Mincha time, we're reading Sefer Yonah to say to ourselves, if I want to really do tshuva in these final moments as we get to the final stretch of Yom Kippur, then I have to first recognize who I am and to recognize that tshuva is nothing other than being true to myself. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to explain. You can read the beginning of the Machzor that they put out a couple of years ago in the introduction. The Rav speaks at length about this, that tshuva is again just a healthy, natural state of being. It's what Rav Kook wrote and emphasized so greatly in his Sefer on tshuva, that trying to do tshuva by returning to Hashem without returning to oneself, he says, is fraudulent. That's not real tshuva. Because the definition of tshuva is not only returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's getting back to our natural state. I once heard from the Mashpia, he told this story, maybe it's an apocryphal tale, I don't know if it's a true story, but he says that one time Ben-Gurion and Eliezer Ben Yehuda were walking in the streets of Yerushalayim. You have to understand, these were people who both came from religious families at some point, once upon a time, but had strayed quite a bit from a religious lifestyle, to say the least. And as they're walking in the street, it was a boiling hot day, Ben-Gurion's walking along with his friend, Eliezer Ben Yehuda Befrat, came from a fairly religious family, and they're walking along, and all of a sudden Ben-Gurion starts speaking to Eliezer Ben Yehuda in Yiddish. Now, Ben Yehuda was the one who was, you know, Hebrew language, right? Ivrit. Ivrit is what it's all about. And he was so put off by Ben-Gurion speaking in Yiddish to him. So he says to him, Eich chvodo medaber b'lashon ha-sonoi. How do you speak such a repulsive Yiddish? It's not even a real language. It's a composite of all these different languages, you know, blended together. Where's your refinement? Hey, you're so offended by it. So Ben-Gurion says back to him. He says to him, it's just too hot out here. Right? It's so hot today. Mitkendish. I can't do the Hebrew thing today. I have to just go back to my roots and just talk in Yiddish. Just need to be regular today. Right? There's a certain natural state of being. That even a person who tries to redefine himself and try to recreate himself, there's a certain natural pull towards a return to oneself. And that's what tshuva is. Ki karov alecha hadavar ma'od b'ficha uvavavcha lasoso. It's exactly what the Torah is telling us. You don't have to go me'ever liyam. You don't have to go to the shemayim. Lo niflesi muchav l'rachoki. It's very, very close. It's very, very close to heart. And when a person understands that that's what tshuva is, it becomes very accessible. It's not so daunting and it's not so overwhelming. Turn over to the second side of the page. And I'll share with you a beautiful Balat Turim in Parshas Re'eh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to win this time of the year. We forget that sometimes. The Eimas Hadin is so thick in the air that we sometimes think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol is out to get us. Which goes against the whole tachlis of creation. All the Sfarim say. You look in the Ramchal, you look in Sefer Chabad, look anywhere, in any Machshava Sefer. Right? Why did Hashem create the world? If we could ask such a question, obviously we can't say why. Ein tam l'ratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired it. That's how the Kisvei Arizal begins in the Pri Etz Chaim, that Hashem had a simplistic desire to create the world. So we can't really offer an explanation why God created the world. But I'm going to offer an explanation, the Sefer Machshava, both in Kabbalah, in Jewish philosophy, they all say the basic approach, which is that Hashem is so good that He wants to share His goodness with the world. That's what the Ramchal writes. That's what many, many Sfarim write. That it's the nature of one who is Tov, Lehativ, to do good towards others. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So Hashem wants us to have a successful stay in this world. To make it interesting, so He gave us a Bechira Chafshas, and He gave us a Yitzhahara, and He made it interesting. He made various challenges along the way. But Hashem wants us to win. How badly does the Kodesh Baruch Hu want us to win? Says the Baal Turim in Parshas Re'eh. Re'eh anochi nosein lefneichem ayom bracha uklala. see, Re'eh, see, that I am placing before you today, bracha and klala. Imagine you're on a game show, yeah, and there's a great prize. There's two doors, and I'm the host of the game show, and I say, behind one door is $1 million in $100 bills, and behind the other door is a rotten banana. All right, and now you have to choose. 50-50 chance. All right, so the whole audience is screaming, pick that door, and you're standing there, you don't know what to do, and you know that if you get the right one, you're going to feel great, and if you get the wrong one, you're going to be kicking yourself for the rest of your life. Oh, if I would have, my gut was to pick that one, but then the crowd was screaming, pick that one, and, right? So, it's a challenge, it's exciting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very interesting way of playing the same game with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnecha Miyom Bracha Ukla. Hashem says, there's a path in this world called Bracha, there's a path in this world called Klala. One of the doors, behind door number one, is bracha, endless bracha. Behind door number two is klala, is curse. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but by the way, the doors are clear glass. Re'eh, just see. If you'll just take a look, I'm trying to show you which one is the prize. And we're so foolish that sometimes we say, I don't know, maybe I should try the other door. When Re'eh Anochi Nosein Lefnech, I'm showing you, this is bracha, this is klala. Which one do you choose? That's what Hashem is saying to us. Hashem is trying to make it so easy for us. The Baal HaTurim says, Re'ei Anochi Davar Acher, in source number 8, Re'ei, just see for yourself, Ki Amapil Gora, when a person normally does some type of lottery game, Im Chavero, Mechasa Goralos, right, when the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is putting his hands in the box to figure out which Sayur LaHashem, Sayur LaAzazel, if Sayur LaHashem comes out on the right hand, that's a good sign, left hand, it's a bad sign, it's a challenge, we hope that Hashem guides his hands. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to every single Jew, I want to play a game with you. Unlike the person who's mechaseh the goralos and the various portions of what one could choose, shelo yivro chavero chelak hayafeh, so that your friend doesn't automatically win the best prize. Aval ata, Hashem says to us, re'ei, come and see. The goralos are out there in front of you. Uvacharta v'chaim. Hashem says, please pick the right door. I'm trying to show it to you. I'm trying to make it so easy for you. And that's what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. V'zeu ata tomich gorali, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you guide the goral. You're pushing my hand towards the winning prize. All I have to do is take it. Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you the winning numbers. Shata tomich biadi litna ala goral atov uliveroso. Kadosh Baruch Hu so badly wants us just to pick the right thing, to pick the right prize. He wants us to win in this world. And if it's hard at first, it's only hard at first. Everything that Hashem asks of us in the Torah, you'll say, but I don't see a life of Torah mitzvot as being all bracha. That's only at the beginning. It's sometimes hard. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this is for you, you can trust that this is the path of bracha. And you can trust that it's possible for you to achieve it. I'll give you a classic question. Right, we say in Shema, V'ahavta, you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your possessions, all of your faculties. Let's say I don't love God. There's a mitzvah to love Hashem. Let's say I don't love Him. Can Hashem command an emotion? Right? You have this question by the Aseret HaDibros. Not to be jealous, but I feel jealous. What do you want from me? Hashem, you want me to shake a lulav. You command me, go buy a palm branch and shake it around. Good, I can do that. Hashem, you command me, get out of bed and put on my tefillin in the morning. So I get up. Okay, put on my tefillin. You command me to eat kosher. I can force myself to do things even if I don't like it. But how does Hashem command an emotion? How can He command us to love Him? It's a good question. We've shown Him grappled with this question. Sfas Emes in Parshas Ve'eschanan gives a very simple answer. He says the question is the answer. If Hashem commands you to love Him, that means Hashem obviously programmed you that it's within your reach to love Him. That it's entirely... Hashem wouldn't ask it of you if it's not possible. That's not what this game is about. Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefnecha Miyom Bracha. I'm trying to show you. This is Bracha. So if Hashem says, love me with all your heart, a Jew has to view as the starting point, it is entirely possible for me to love Hashem with all my heart. What happens in those days when I feel like I don't love Hashem with all my heart? What's happening? So this farm explained, what's happening in that moment is that unfortunately you've buried that love under all sorts of other loves or maybe lusts of this world. And the goal is to try to dig it out to just get back to the natural state of a person's neshama loving God. That's the natural state. What do we call a person who's rejected a Kadosh Baruch Hu? One of the terms we use is a kofar. Why do we use the term kofar? Where is the first time we have that shoresh kofar in the Torah? By Noach's Teva. By Noach's Teva it says, V'chafarta osam yibayas umichutz ba'kofar. That the Teva was what? Was kofar, was covered over. So therefore a person who said, I don't believe in Hashem, we say you're a kofar. What does it mean? It just means the natural love that you feel towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu has been covered over by all sorts of other things. false ideologies and philosophies, desires of temptations of this world. So you've lost sight of what's natural for you. But again, this is the natural state. Hashem says, just choose this path. And if it's hard again at the beginning, it'll get much easier as you immerse yourself in it. In that same parsha, in Parsha Sur'ei, the Dasa Kanim of the Balei Tosfos, bring a beautiful, beautiful mashal. They say, imagine, mashal, in the first line of Source 9, in the middle of the line. Mashal is zakin ayoshev al ema derech. Imagine a zakin, a wise man sitting at the crossroad. He's sitting at the crossroad, there's two paths, a fork in the road, and this wise old man is sitting there, and this young fellow comes along and he's deciding which road to take. And he looks down one road and he sees this road is paved, it looks good, easy to travel on. Looks down the other road, and the road has not yet been paved, and it's overgrown with thorns and thistles, whatever those are, right? And it's like a big mess, and he says, okay, this is easy, I'll take the path that's nice and clear, nice and smooth. And the Zakin, you know, says, young man, before you set out on your journey, if I could just let you know, I've been down both these roads. And the one that looks smooth is only smooth for about a mile or so. After that, it's really rough traveling the rest of the way. The other road that looks very rough at the beginning, you should just know, it's only rough for about a mile. But once you get past that first point, it gets much, much smoother. Says the Balei Tosfos in source number 9 where it's bolded, Lichu bezeh. If you're wise, if you trust me, take this path. Shetchilaso kotzim, kisofo mishur. Take the path that's a little bit thorny at the beginning, because the end is smooth sailing. Kol mishashomei lo, afal pisha yoga ma'at betchilaso. Even though there's a bit of yegia at the beginning. Acher kacholik v'shalom. But afterwards, it's easy the rest of the way. Aval mishal lo shama lo, but the person who's too stubborn to listen to this ducky, what does this old fool know anyways? V'halach ba'oso shetchilaso mishur. And he took the one that was smooth at the beginning, nichshol b'sof. In the end, he was stumbling the rest of the way. I once read, I don't know who this Rav is, but I once saw in a Sefer, b'shem a Rav by the name of Rav Yaron Halbertal. Anyone know who that is? I don't know who he is either. But he had a beautiful insight. He went one step further with this. He says, maybe this, b'derech remez, is the secret of the pasuk, rabos machshavos b'leiv ish, v'atos Hashem hisakum. Rabos machshavos b'leiv ish, a person standing at the crossroad of life. And he's trying to figure out, which path should I take? Rabos machshavos, there are many thoughts going through my mind. Which path is the true path? Which path will lead me to what I'm looking for in this world? The atzas Hashem, you know what the advice of Hashem is? The etzah of Hashem, atzas Hashem? The advice of Hashem is takum. The advice of Hashem is takum. He says, what's takum? He says, takum is Rashi Tevos, tchilaso kotzim v'sofo mishur. Take the path that's thorny at the beginning, tchilaso kotzim, v'sofo mishur, but the end is smooth. That's Hashem's advice. Hashem says, listen, there's going to be a few challenges along the way. But I'm telling you, if you pick this door, it's bracha. Trying to make it as clear as day for you to see such a thing. That it shouldn't be such a struggle. It's your natural state of being. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha is a natural state of a Jew. Don't cover it up. Don't try to conceal it. It was Mashpia. It was a famous Chabad Mashpia by the name of Shmuel Batzala. And he used to always yell at his Talmidim. He would say to them, just do tshuva. And I'll tell you why it's worth it to do tshuva. Because in the end, you're going to have to do tshuva anyways. There's a guarantee of tshuva. If not this lifetime, so Hashem will send you back a second time, and a third time. In the end, you're going to do tshuva anyways. The Rambam writes in the seventh parak of Hilchos Tshuva, that tshuva is a havtacha, it's a promise to the Jewish people. That actually answers the question of, right? Some say the Rambam doesn't seem to count tshuva as the mitzvah, vidu is the mitzvah. You can't command tshuva because tshuva is the natural state of being. You're guaranteed to do it. There's a promise to the Jewish people you're going to do tshuva. So this mashpia used to scream at the Talmid. He said, guys, just do tshuva. You're going to do it in the end anyways. Why make it difficult for yourself? So it's a little bit hard to get started. Get started. You'll see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to just pull you in. It's so natural once you get going with it. It's, the only reason you're confused is because of the chatam that you've done. In Shir HaShirim, the 10th source, Mashcheini acherecha narutza. The pasuk says, Mashcheini acherecha narutza. Draw me after you, Rabbona Shol, narutza, and we'll come running. There's an amazing insight from the Tiferet Shlomo of Radomsk. The Rebbe of Radomsk says, a kinyan meshicha, Mashcheini acherecha narutza, to acquire something through a kinyan meshicha, through the halachic acquisition known as meshicha, can take place in one of two ways. How do you do meshicha? He writes in source number 11, where it's bolted, Ki be'inyan kinyan meshicha, hu be'zofanim. Ha'alif, the first way, hekisha b'makel v'hitavo. You can strike the animal, and the animal starts to move, and now you've become the new owner of this animal. You can't make a kinyan simply by exchanging money. You have to do an act of acquisition on the animal. Well, if I'm acquiring a small object like this pen, so I could pick it up, and that's a kinyan hanba, now the pen belongs to me, assuming everything else has been worked out. How am I going to acquire this elephant? How am I going to make this elephant mine? I'm going to pick it up. So, one way to do a kinyan mashiach is that I strike at the animal, and the animal starts to move at my request, right? And that's a sign that I'm the owner of this animal. The second way, he says, kora lavihiba. You can call to the animal, right? And the animal comes towards you. So says the Tiferet Shlomo Rav Adamsk, Mashcheini acharecha narutza. We could get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one of two ways. We could come running back to Hashem only after He beats us up enough time that He strikes us with the stick from behind until we finally get moving in the right direction. That would be a tragic way to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we could also do the other type of Mashiach. We could do a kinyan Mashiach where Hashem calls to us and we come on our own. It's a lot less painful. And he says it here as a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem, we've been through so much in the Golus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it easier for us to hear your voice. That we're able to come running to your voice. And we don't need to be smacked back into place. Why is it that sometimes we find it so hard? I think the answer is very simple. It's only because we don't realize who we are. And if we had a deeper understanding of who we are, if we understood our natural state, and we appreciated that in a deep way, we wouldn't try to run away from it. We wouldn't try to be like Yonah, who's running from his mission in this world. Rather, we'd be like those roads to Yerushalayim that are mevakesh tafkitam, that say, this is who I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to find a way to become who I'm supposed to be. Probably my favorite medrash that I've ever seen, and I quote it often, is a medrash in Shir HaShirim. On the pasuk, lo yadati nafshi samasli. Beautiful, beautiful medrash. I'm sure some of us have heard it before, but it's kedai to review as we come to the Yom HaKadosh, as we come to Yom Kippur. The medrash gives the following mashal. The medrash says, Tani Rabbi Chia, Mashal Labas Malachim, the first line. Mashal Labas Malachim Shaisa Milaketes Mishlafim. Once upon a time, there was a young woman, a Bas Malachim, a princess, who was Milaketes Mishlafim, which means that she was picking garbage, she was looking for something to eat in the garbage dumps. How did this princess end up in the garbage dumps? You could say the following. When she was a little girl, she was kidnapped from the palace. And she spent her whole life growing up with, you know, less refined individuals, let's say, down by the train tracks. And she had her chevra of people. She never knew that she was a princess. And she spent time, like, trying to find, you know, taking things out of the garbage can to get by from day to day. All of a sudden, one time, look at the words of the Medrash. It's beautiful. Nimtza melech over vehikr shehibito. The king was traveling by with his caravan. And all of a sudden he says to the driver, wait, stop the car. And the king looks out the window of his limousine. And he sees this girl in her beggar's clothes at the side of the road, right? She's dirty. She's clearly a person who's been living on the streets. And he recognizes her. He looks her in the eye and says, wait a minute, I know that girl. I haven't seen her in 20 years, but that's my daughter. Sholach o'avo natlavo shiva imo b'kronin. He sends one of his trusted officials to go down to the field, to the train tracks, to the garbage dumps, and he takes this girl by the hand and says, come with me. The king would like to speak with you. And next thing you know, she's sitting alongside her father, who's the king. She's the princess. She's sitting alongside her father in the royal caravan. And all of her friends, as the limousine is pulling away, her friends come, they're standing alongside the car, and they say to her, wow, et moha yisa melaketes b'shlafim. Yesterday you were one of us, picking at the garbage. V'ayom yosheves b'kroninim ha-melech. We can't believe it. You're a princess. Now you're sitting alongside the king in the royal chariot. Amra lahem. So what do you think she said back to them? Kesheim shatem tmei alai. Kachani tmei alatzmi. You think you're surprised. How do you think I feel? You're shocked. You never knew that girl you were hanging out with all these years, having a good time down by the train tracks, you never realized she's a princess. And how do you think I feel now that I'm realizing for the first time that I was a princess, that this is who I am? The karasa atzman, she said about herself at the time, she reflected on the words of Shir HaShirim, right, obviously not literally, but she reflected on the words that are being expressed, lo yadati nafshi samasti. Lo yadati nafshi, I had no idea who I was. Says the Medrash, kach kishahayu Yisrael b'mitzrayim, mishubadim b'titu levenim. The Jewish people were slaves in Mitzrayim, they were working in the mud, they were building, and they were the most repulsive people on planet Earth, the lowest of society. And then what happened? All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself comes with tremendous miracles, scoops Klal Yisrael up out of that garbage dump called Mitzrayim and says, I want you to be my chosen nation. And all the nations of the world are bewildered. Three lines from the bottom. Vayumos ha'olam tmeos va'omos et mahayisim ovdim betitu levenim. Yesterday, we were whipping you. You were working in the mud. You were building for us. Vayom nasisim b'nei chorin v'saganam ha'kol ha'olam. And now you've become the chosen nation. Vayisrael omrim lahem. And we say back to our oppressors, the Mitzrayim, Kesheim sha'atem tmeim aleinu. Just as you're so surprised about this transformation, kach anu tmeim al atzmeinu. We feel the exact same way. Lo yadati nafshi samasti. I had no idea who I was. I had no idea who I was. And if I would have known who I was, it would have been a very different life. And that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is just the simple recognition, being comfortable with who we're supposed to be. It's a return to oneself. In the psukim that describe Mashiach, as found in Parshas Balak, Bilam reflects on the fact that eventually there's going to be a rising star amongst the Jewish people. One who stands out from the rest. Erenu v'lo atla in source 14, Ashurenu v'lo karov, Darach kochav miYaakov. Who's this kochav miYaakov? Who's the star from Yaakov? So if you look in the Targum, if you look in the Midrashim, if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Malachim, the kochav miYaakov is a reference to Mashiach. That's how we understand this pasuk, Kochem Yaakov, the star of Yaakov, the rising star, Kom Shevet Mi Yisrael, the rising star of Yaakov is going to be none other than the Mashiach that we long for. However, if you look in the Talmud Yerushalmi, in Maaser Sheni, the Talmud Yerushalmi in the fourth parak of Maaser Sheni uses this exact same pasuk in an entirely different context, and it applies it to all of Klal Yisrael. So the question is raised by the Lubavitch Rebbe and others, that how do you have a pasuk that on the one hand is a reference to Mashiach, on the other hand, in an entirely different context, but is understood by the Talmud Yerushalmi in Parashat of Maaser Sheni, Halacha Vav, as a reference to the entirety of the Jewish people? And the answer is, because every single Jew has within himself or herself a Nekudah of Mashiach. The Baal Shem Tov is quoted by the Maorei Naim in Parshas Pinchas, that every single one of us has a Nekudah of Mashiach that we're trying to reveal. Yes, not everyone is going to be Mashiach. There are qualifications to be that person who's known as Mashiach. But the idea of Mashiach is something that should be exploding from inside of each and every one of us. That each one of us should believe, like that fellow in Montreal, that old Jew, that story I told you about 45 minutes ago, who felt I just have a song inside of me that's waiting to emerge. Every Jew should walk around feeling, I have a shaychus to Mashiach. And Mashiach is dependent upon my efforts in this world. We're learning Sanhedrin this year in Yeshiva. So the Gemara says in Source 15, Sanhedrin, towards the end of the Masechta, Tzadi Chesam Ebeis, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Mashiach. The pasuk is a reference to Mashiach. Mashema, what's the name of Mashiach? Look at this, fascinating. The Bei Rabbi Shila Amar, Shilo Shema. What's Mashiach's name? In the academy, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shila, they said Shilo is Mashiach's name. The Bei Rabbi Yanai Amri, in Rabbi Yanai's yeshiva, they said Yanon Shema. The Bei Rabbi Chanina Amar, Chanina Shema. The Yesh Omrim, Menachem Ben Chizkiah Shema. Says the Vilna Gaon, if you look at the four names that are given for Mashiach, Shilo, Yanon, Chanina or Chananya, right, and Menachem, it spells out Mashiach. Rosh Tevo spell Mashiach. Menachem is a Mem, Shiloh is a Shin, Yanon is a Yud, and Chanina is a Ches. Okay, so you see these four names somehow combine to create Mashiach, whatever that means. The Vilna Gaon discusses it. But what I found so fascinating about this Gemara, when I saw it, is look how each person picks a name for Mashiach that's very similar to his own name. That in the yeshiva of Shiloh, they said Shiloh is his name. In the yeshiva of Yanai, they say Yanon. In Chanina, they say Chanina is his name. That there's a recognition that a Jew lives with, that there's an akuda Mashiach inside of myself. And I just have to be megala that. I have to believe that that's there. And to just allow it to come out naturally. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted it within us. I'll just conclude with a beautiful story from Simcha Buna and Prashischa. It's a famous story. It's brought in a sefer called Neflos Chadashos. They say one time there was this local drunk, this town drunk, who they decided to have a little bit of fun with. And the locals decided, one time when he passes out in the street, they're going to take him in his drunken stupor, and they're going to dress him up in the clothing of a priest. And they're going to stick him in some church, and he's going to wake up, and he's going to see, he's a priest. So, they had a good time. The guy's passed out on the curb. They take him, they get him all dressed in the priestly garb, and they put him into the priest's study in the church. And the guy wakes up from his drunken stupor, and he looks at himself, and he says, wow, am I a priest? I said, wait, I don't think I'm a priest, but if I'm not a priest, why am I in the priest's study? Priest's private study, I'm wearing the priest's clothing, so I must be a priest. He's trying to figure out, but I don't remember being a priest, and he's trying to figure out, am I a priest, am I not a priest? So he decides, you know what, I know how I'll figure out if I'm really a priest. Let me go over to the bookshelf, I'll pull off one of those Latin books and I'll see. If I know how to read the books, then that's a sign that I must be a priest. So he goes over to the bookshelf and he pulls out, you know, one of the svarim, l'havdil, and he opens it up and he sees, I don't understand the word of this. I guess I'm not a priest. And he says to himself, you know what? Not all the priests are so proficient in the svarim either. They don't know how to read the books either. So maybe I really am a priest. Rav Simcha Bunim used to tell this story to show a person can get so confused about who am I, what am I, right? To redefine ourselves based on, well, if I'm not so proficient in the books, I don't know how to, l'havdil, if I don't feel so comfortable at home when I read the Torah, it must be that, you know, that something that went wrong with my neshama. That banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, that every Jew is a child of the Ribbono Shel Olam, was said about everyone except for me. And Mashiach is an idea that's good for a lot of, you know, very holy Jews, but that's not for me. To believe in a deep way, that I can be all of those things, and that Hashem programmed me a certain way, and to understand that tshuva is karov alecha hadavar ma'od, that it's not outside of myself. It's a very natural and healthy return to one's natural state of being. I'll conclude with the final source. Rav Shlomo Freifeld was once at a gathering. Shar Yashav hosted a beautiful gathering, a kirov organization, wanted to hold a Shabbaton. And they asked that it should be held in Shar Yashav. And Rav Shlomo Freifeld was the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Shar Yashav, Zatzal. Rav Freifeld said, okay, wonderful, and they had this beautiful Shabbaton, and many people came, it was a big success. At the night meal, the head of this kirov organization got up to speak. And he gets up and he says, I want to just explain why we feel so passionate about this organization. We feel so passionate about this organization because what better thing can we do in this world than to help a Jew return to his Father in heaven? That a Jew should be able to reconnect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What more important work is there in this world? Rav Freifeld got up to speak next, and he said the following. Amad Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Shlomo Freifeld, this again, Rav Shmuel Brazil, in that sefer I mentioned earlier, says Rav Freifeld got up at that time, and he was going to give a drasha, V'hischil drashasub, V'kashas mechilim yirosha, Yirgun, he says to the head of the organization, I have to apologize, but I want to argue on you. I want to disagree with what you said. You said the most important thing in the world is to return a Jew to Avinu Shavashamay. The Amar and Rav Freifeld, who was a master of the spirit, said, "Shelefidaito tshuva hi shetchila yashuva adam al atzma." If you want to really bring a person to tshuva, it's not this abstract, out of body connecting myself to Hashem who's outside of myself, but it's a reconnection of a person with himself. Shetchila yashuva adam al atzma el mahuso v'nishmaso, to recognize the chelak alokam imal inside of myself, not the Hakadosh Baruch who's out there, but to recognize the Hakadosh Baruch who's inside of me, a return to oneself. Rak acher kach muchan hu leshuva l'Hashem. And then from that state of natural being, of being comfortable within oneself, from there a person can go to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's mamali kol alman v'sovei kol alman. So Amir Tzah Hashem, halavai halavai, we should be able to mekayim the words of the pasuk kipshuto, ki karav alecha dav mod, b'fichu l'vav kol asoso. Hashem says, I'm trying to display it for you. This is bracha, this is klala. I programmed you in a certain natural way. Be good to yourself. Don't allow the Yetzirah to get the better of you. Just allow yourself to return to yourself. And Amir Tzah Hashem, if we could be true to ourselves, if we could understand the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be within ourselves, then Amir Tzah Hashem will be able to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we'll all be zocha to Aksiva v'chsima tov. Thank you for coming.